In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I will go to the altar of God.
To God, my exceeding joy.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
Please be seated. During this Lenten season, we have heard our Lord's call to intensify our struggle against sin, death, and the devil, all that prevents us from trusting in God and loving each other. Since it is the intention to receive the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ on this night, when he instituted this blessed meal for our salvation, it is proper that we complete our Lenten discipline by diligently examining ourselves, as St. Paul urges us to do. This holy sacrament has been instituted for the special comfort of those who are troubled because of their sins, humbly confess them, and hunger and thirst for righteousness. But when we examine our hearts and consciences, we find nothing in us but sin and death, from which we are incapable of delivering ourselves. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ has had mercy on us. For our benefit, he became man, so that he might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God, and to deliver us, took upon himself our sinful nature and the punishment we deserve. So that we may more confidently believe this and be strengthened in the faith and in holy living, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." It is as if he said, "I became man, and all that I do, I suffer, is for your good. As a pledge of this, I give you my body to eat." In the same way also, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Again, it is as if he said, "I have had mercy on you by taking upon myself all your iniquities. I give myself into death, shedding my blood to obtain grace and forgiveness of sins and to comfort and establish the New Testament, which gives forgiveness and everlasting salvation. As a pledge of this, I give you my blood to drink." Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup, confidently believing this word and promise of Christ, dwells in Christ and Christ in him and has eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Giving him our most heartfelt thanks, we take up our cross and follow him, and according to his commandment, love one another as he has loved us. As our Lord on this night exemplified this love by washing his disciples' feet, so we, by our words and actions, serve one another in love. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread of one another in love. We are all partakers of this one bread and drink from this one cup. For just as the one cup is filled with wine of many grapes, and the one bread is made from countless grains, so also we, being many, are one body in Christ. Because of him we love one another, not only in word, but in deed and truth. May the Almighty and merciful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, accomplish this in us.
Amen.
Having heard the word of God, let us confess our sins, imploring God our Father, for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Please stand. O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, in accordance with the sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. Go in peace. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
O Lord,
in the
In this wondrous sacrament, you have left us a remembrance of your passion.
Grant that we may so receive the
sacred mystery of your body and blood, and the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
The epistle reading is from Hebrews chapter 10. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Please stand for the gospel reading. The gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 26. Then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, What will you give me if I deliver him over to you? And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover? He said, Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, The teacher says, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would had been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will fall away because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered him, "Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even if I must die, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Please be seated for our hymn.
Begin the sermon, I was asked to remind you all there is communion this Sunday, it being Easter. So.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I spend a lot of time watching other church services as a chaplain. You don't really get away from that as much, especially being more of a senior chaplain now. I get to supervise other chaplains, and so I sit in on their worship services from time to time. And you know, it's amazing how much that you can tell about a church just by watching what happens at the altar. You know, in some cases, the altar is used as a place for people to come forward and give their testimonies, telling about all the wonderful things that God has done in their lives. In other places, it's a case for members, new and old, to come and dedicate or rededicate, as the case may be, their lives to Christ, promising to accept Him as Lord and Savior and inviting Him into their hearts. And sometimes you don't even see an altar because it's obscured by drum sets and sound equipment, or there isn't even an altar at all. And thus it seems in a lot of cases the altar of the church becomes a place for our testimonies, our promises, our words, our works. You know, Jesus' disciples are also pretty good when it comes to offering their own words and promises. Matthew tells us in our gospel reading this evening that just as Jesus was about to be led away, be arrested, be crucified, Peter says to him, "Even if I must die, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same. Well, how did that turn out? By the time we get to our gospel reading, as Jesus is reclining at the table with his disciples, he informs them, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me." Already, at least one of the disciples who had promised Jesus his undying loyalty had already betrayed him to his death. And the other 11, would they prove to be any more loyal? Hardly. They would all abandon him, and Peter would deny even knowing him. The rest would follow suit. Judas had betrayed his master to his death, and the rest of the disciples would abandon their master to die alone. None of them would endure the beatings. None of them would carry the cross. None of them would be crucified next to him. Those tasks would all fall to strangers and to thieves. In the end, their bold words, their words that boasted about how committed they were just that. They were words. How worthless our words and our promises are. They flow from a heart that is sinful and corrupted to its core. I mean, how good could they possibly be? Since when are our promises worth anything? Can we claim to be better disciples than the original 12? Are we so conceited as to think that we'll succeed where they failed? Not I, Lord. I love you. I would never betray you. Now excuse me as I go and live my life as if I've never heard of you. Excuse me while I lie. Excuse me while I speak about my neighbor behind his back. Excuse me while I cheat. Excuse me while I find something better to do with my time than to study your word, not hearing and learning it, but despising it. Excuse me while I commit lust and adultery in my heart. Excuse me while I covet the things that my neighbor has. And these are the hearts that we bring to the altar. You know, so often we hear about people piously announcing that they've committed their hearts to Jesus and inviting him to come inside as if it's some grand and precious gift we're offering. How conceited we are to think that Jesus would want anything to do with our hearts. Our words and promises don't save us. They condemn us. They spring from an evil, sinful heart and are, as St. Paul says, nothing but rubbish. They're worth no more than the words and promises of the disciples. It's only a matter of time before they prove to be hollow, insincere, and full of lies. That's what we bring to the altar. That's what we bring to the Lord's table. It's what the disciples brought to the table in our gospel reading this evening, hearts that were full of words and promises and good intentions, but that betrayed their owners as traitors, deniers, and cowards. And yet Jesus brings them to the table, not because he needed their words and promises, but because they needed his. Their words were hollow, but his word is truth. They had promised their loyalty and their conviction and their courage. Jesus promised himself. Each of these men needed the words and promises of Jesus, words that he spoke to each of them as they gathered around the table the night before his death, saying, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you." Jesus' words, words that prepare and proclaim his death, are pure life to the ones that he's speaking to. His body, broken by whips and nails, given to them. His blood poured out at the foot of the cross, shed for them. The body that he had taken on in Mary's womb, the flesh and blood that had become the dwelling place of God himself, is offered up as a sacrifice for the treason, the denial, and the cowardice of his people. In taking on flesh and blood, God had honored all of mankind. Now he offers that flesh and blood on the altar of the cross, giving it to his disciples and all of mankind for the forgiveness of our sins. Like I said earlier, you could tell a lot about a church by what happens at the altar, or I guess to be more precise, by what comes from its altar. We don't approach the altar to give our testimonies, but to receive the testimony of Jesus himself. We don't approach the altar to commit ourselves to Jesus, but because he has committed himself to us. The words that we hear spoken from this altar aren't our own. They're the words of Christ himself, speaking to us the same words and giving us the same gifts as he gave to his disciples. My body given for you. My blood shed for you. Life-giving words that cause us to open our mouths, not to give our words to him, but to receive what he has given to us. We teach in the Lutheran Church that no one is to come to the altar to receive his gifts unless they confess that what they're receiving is nothing less than his true body and his true blood. Because to believe in the body and blood of Christ in this sacrament, to believe that Jesus' body and blood is there on the altar, is to believe that nothing short of that will save you. Because that's what our sins require. Christ's one sacrifice for our forgiveness, and he gives us the fruit of that sacrifice as we approach his table, just as he promised. My body given for you. My blood shed for you. Bread and wine, body and blood, a life-giving meal prepared for us by a life-giving Savior, poured out for the entire world, a meal of sacrifice to cover all sins. It forgives the traitor. It forgives the coward. It forgives the denier. All of these and more are paid for, and thanks be to God, because as long as the church gathers around the Lord's table, it will gather as a collection of traitors, of cowards, and deniers. As long as the church gathers at the altar, Christ continues to call sinners to the table. Indeed, sinners are the only ones that Christ desires to dine with. It is only to sinners that Christ wishes to give the bread and the wine, and only to sinners that he speaks these life-giving words, "My body given for you, my blood shed for you." These words of Christ deliver what they promise, giving his people nothing less than what they declare. His true body and his true blood, a much-needed medicine for sinners. We bring our sinful hearts to his table, not puffed up in pride, but in sorrow and in repentance for our sins, knowing that our Lord has promised not to despise a contrite heart. We give our hearts to God, not as a gracious offering, but in the hope that he'll do what he promised, take our hearts of stone away from us and create a new one, a living heart in its place. This is what Christ does for us at the altar. His body and blood broken out for us creates new hearts within us. It gives courage to the coward. It renews loyalty in the traitor. It takes the denier and changes him into someone who boldly proclaims the gospel. It takes a bunch of sinful individuals, you and me, and turns us into one body, uniting us in Christ and enabling us to act in love toward one another. When we come to the Lord's table, we don't come as just as individuals before God, but as members of his body joined one to another. This is his body. This is his blood. You are my brother and my sister. I would die for you and you for me. I would die for the faith that you hold so dearly because it is also my faith. You know, table fellowship, all that tiny print in the bulletin each Sunday, it's no small thing because through it, we confess that we are saved by Christ alone. And we confess our love to one another, a love that flows from Christ's love for us, a love demonstrated and given to us in his words, my body given for you, my blood shed for you. As Jesus says these words in our gospel reading tonight, he knows that this will be the last time he shares in the meal with his disciples before his death. The time is close. The cross beckons. His parting words for his brother, for his brothers, this the final lesson that the rabbi wishes to share before he dies, is a proclamation of the gospel, a proclamation of his death. This is the death that we also proclaim every time we come to the Lord's table, the atoning death of our Savior as his sacrificed body and blood are given to us to eat and to drink. Week in and week out, this is our confession as we gather at the Lord's table, knowing that there will come a day when we too will approach the table for the last time, and there will be a space at the rail where we once knelt. There will come a day when, as the hour of our cross grows nearer, we will hear, whether here at the table or at our bedside, those blessed words, this is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. We will share in the bread and the wine, in the body and the blood, and we will follow our Lord into his death, the death that we proclaimed every time we came to the altar, the death into which we were baptized. We will follow our Lord into the tomb, looking forward to that glorious Easter morning when our graves like his will be empty, and we will drink of the fruit of the vine new with Jesus and with each other in our Father's kingdom. And what an Easter that will be. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. On the tree of the cross you gave salvation to mankind that, whence death arose, thence life also might rise again in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy,
God of power and might,
heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. The same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, grant us peace.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breasts. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him, and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it.